We don't get many Trump callers on this program, and I really love hearing from you because there's a certain, I don't know how to put this, but there's a certain dissimilarity between what you're saying and what many of the, for example, Bernieites are saying right now, which is, if Bernie isn't the candidate, I'm going to tear up my ballot and I'm not going to vote for Hillary. Well, you know, I mean, in both cases, obviously there's something bigger than the candidates. I mean, I voted for Bernie, but I'll tell you right now, if it means that the Supreme Court will be right wing, I'm going to vote for Hillary. I mean, well, you have to
Sanders
make.
Sanders doesn't have the nominee. He's not ahead of the pack yet. He's not ahead of Hillary.
Yeah, that's
true. If he were, I think that their argument is much more legitimate. Trump is ahead of the pack.
Right.
And he is clearly being expressed by the will of the people. And the will of the people should prevail. But as I say, honestly, Alan, I didn't cry when Tinkerbell died, and I didn't think Bambi was a real story.
Well, I thought Bambi was a real story, and
oh,
I'm
stop.
Still thinking, and my parents took me to it way too early. Still the scariest movie I ever saw in my whole life. Hey, Jay, thank
Alan,
you so much for calling. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Alan.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Now we'll go to Rex in Schenectady. All right. Rex, you're on.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, I am voting for Bernie, and I will vote for Hillary if he doesn't get the nomination.
Yeah.
But I do think that the press has been very one-sided on the whole thing, and I don't think that they've been fair to Bernie at all. No matter how good he does, they keep saying, why is he still in there?
Well, I don't know that they say that. I mean, I'm part of the media, right? And I voted
for... I'm not talking about you guys.
Yeah.
You guys do guys do justice to it. I'm talking about the morning news. I'm talking about the evening news, you know,
yeah.
ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, all those stations.
Well, Rex, don't you think part of this is the fact that Bernie has been given a basic free ride? I'm trying to get my words together to make it right here, but given a free ride by the Republicans who have assumed from day one that Hillary was going to be the candidate. So Hillary
He did get lucky there, but I think that I think that Bernie would trounce Trump in any kind of a debate.
I don't know. This is a funny country. You know, you remember that New Yorker cartoon where New York and then the next thing you see over is San Francisco. There's nothing in the middle. Well, that's how many.
Nope.
Well, that's how many of us see this country. You know, Bernie will trounce this sort of thing. But, you know, I mean, I'm a big Bernie guy, as you know. I interviewed him probably 100 times here on WAMC, you know, on our congressional corner and the rest of it. So, on the other hand, they're going to, you have no idea the vitriol that they're going to do. They're going to, somebody will surely leak his FBI file. Somebody will.
I don't doubt that.
Yeah. Somebody will surely, put him into a Kremlin hat next to Stalin. You know,
but nobody has any kind of policies that they're talking about except this wall thing.
Yep.
I mean, nobody's
Couldn't agree with you more.
Kind of policy.
I couldn't agree with you more. I'll tell you why I voted for him. I've interviewed Hillary, and I like her. I've interviewed Bernie many, many times, many more times. Bernie is right. It's that simple. The problem.
It couldn't be more clear. I can't believe that more people aren't thinking the same thing. I mean, you can't just. I mean, Hillary hasn't. She doesn't really have any policy other than what she's taken from Bernie over the last 4 months.
Well, the real question here is can Hillary win the election? Can Bernie win the election? Right now, there's a huge gap. As you know, both of them are slaughtering the Republicans. But things tend to get closer as the general election happens. And that's where I worry. You know, a lot of people think Hillary can win, that Bernie can't. I will get 1,000 calls from people say, you don't know what you're talking about.
All the polls say the exact opposite. Bernie will do 10 points better.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. But as I say, that's because Bernie hasn't been vilified the way that Hillary has. If he gets the nomination, trust me, Rex, you know you'll never see anything like it. But Rex,
they're not going to say Benghazi every other word.
Yes,
you know,
I can't believe that
Benghazi thing. And that was another thing that I couldn't believe is that there was 9 Benghazi hearings and there's only one for 9/11.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, Rex. Thank you for your call. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks.
All right. Okay, we're going to take a brief break, just 7 or 8 seconds or something like that. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Dr. Lucy Chapik, Latham, New York, practicing plastic surgery for 20 years, hosting a spring open house April 21st, introducing Kybella for treatment of double chins, 518-786-1700 for registration. The Henyon Bakery, Amherst, since 1993, offering hearth-baked whole grain breads, pastries, birthday, wedding, and special occasion cakes, as well as gluten-free offerings. HenyonBakery.com. Tom McRae, Edward Jones Financial Advisor on University Drive in Amherst, Massachusetts. Member SIPC, Edward Jones, making sense of investing. EdwardJones.com/Tom McRae. Harold's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Over 300 flavors of handcrafted dairy and dairy-free ice creams, cakes, hot fudge, and more. Harold's.com. And Coldham & Hartman Architects, serving residential and institutional clients with architecture designed for resilience and renewability. Designed for the next 100 years. CNHArchitects.com.
Yeah, I like the music, don't you? Welcome back, dear friends. We're talking politics today, and I know people are really passionate this time. I've never seen anything quite like it. Not while I've been around. Let's go to John in Dalton, Massachusetts. Okay, John, your turn.
Hey, thank John. You, Alan. Yeah. I just wanted to say quickly, the first thing you always hear about, wary of Bernie Sanders, the first thing you talk about or you hear people talk about is they're afraid we're going to turn into a socialism or more of a socialist democracy. The fact is, we already are embedded in socialist democracy because we subsidize one of the biggest industries on the planet, and that is the fossil fuel industry. If it wasn't for our subsidies, we wouldn't be paying the amount we pay like Europe pays. They don't subsidize fuels like we do. So if people are worried about us becoming more socialistic, you have to realize that is the reality of our country right now. I would hope that Bernie, it would become more socialistic if indeed one payer or universal health care became the rule.
Yep.
But the fact is, I don't see us getting off of being a socialist democracy anytime soon anyway.
John, you make a point. Thank you for your call. Appreciate it. All right. Hang up. Let's go to Alice in Saugerties. Alice in Saugerties, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm calling about I just received an absentee ballot.
Yep.
And I wanted to vote for Bernie, but it says also choose 5 delegates. And so I asked somebody, because I didn't know the delegates, and she said, well, only vote for who you know. So I called the office, and they told me that the 5 that follow Bernie's name are delegates that support him, and the ones that support Hillary follow her name.
That's not quite true, Alice.
I don't know how many people are as ignorant about that as I was.
Well, it's not absolutely true, because the party's absolutely put these people up, not the candidates. So we don't really know what some of these people you're voting for will do on the second ballot if they're told to go somewhere else. If Bernie doesn't get it, let's say Bernie's ahead. We don't know that. So, but your point is extremely well taken. Most people don't have the slightest idea who those delegates are.
Right. And the thing is, like, between Trump and Bernie,
yep,
there couldn't be more of a oppositional status than Trump saying that he's worth $10 billion.
Yep.
And Bernie is saying exactly that's the problem with the country. How is he such a great businessman if he's got all the money?
What do you mean? I don't get that. I don't get that last sentence.
The rest of us any good.
I don't get that last sentence. How is he such a big business, good businessman if he's got all the money? Isn't that what businessmen are supposed to do?
That Trump, he claims he's worth $10 billion.
I got it. We got that part. But then you said,
he can't be such a good businessman as head of the country because he has gained that much over the average person.
Yeah, yeah.
Has no chance.
But Alice, haven't you ever heard of Ronald Reagan and trickle-down economics? That's what he's going to say, you know. I've got all this money, but I support all of these places and my casinos, and I hire people, and that's American democracy. That's what he's going to say.
But he can't be paying them well if he has $10 billion, can't afford to have gold-plated sinks and safety belts on his plane and all that.
Hey, Alice.
How is that helping so many people?
Alice, thank you for your wonderful call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye now.
Bye. Okay, now we're going to go to Bill in Gloversville, where nobody goes around barehanded. Bill, you're on.
Yes, I would just like to say, I find it difficult to understand how 99% of the American people, the 99%ers,
yep,
would vote for a Republican who represents the 1%ers. Personally, I'm going to vote for either Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton, preferably Bernie. And I was a Vietnam-era veteran, 62 years old, served as a hospital corpsman against the Vietnam War, a conscientious objector, serving as a corpsman to save lives. So I do believe in socialized medicine, having come from the military.
Right. Bill, I appreciate your call. Thank you for calling. I want to give everybody a chance. All right. Now we'll go to Jim in North Pownell. Okay. Jim, you're on line number one. Remember that. Go ahead.
Hi, Alan.
Hey.
Good to talk to you again.
Sure.
I am a Bernie supporter all the way. I have been a Bernie supporter since I moved to Vermont in 1980, and I saw the turnaround that he pulled in Burlington. I mean, he changed that from a going down the tubes old factory town into something that is really good, and I have supported him through his state representative, state senate, and then
Congress, Senate,
the Congress, and then United now States. The national Senate, and I think that anybody that doesn't vote for Bernie isn't thinking in the right direction.
Okay, Jim, you made that clear. Thank you very much for your call. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks,
bye.
Alan.
Let's go to Sean in Kinderhook. Okay, Sean, remember you're on line number two in case something goes wrong. Go ahead.
Oh, hey, thanks, Alan, for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question now. Trump talks about building this wall, the Great Wall. I mean, this to me, it doesn't really make any sense. You know, for instance, they already have hundreds of tunnels that go underneath the fence that's down there anyway. Doesn't anybody know that?
Okay, Sean, I take it that pause in your talk means I get to say something here. I'll try.
Well, yeah, please.
And that is this. The country responds to that stuff. I couldn't agree with you more, but the country responds to it. Basically, what he's saying is keep them out. That's what he's saying.
And I understand.
And he's using the wall as a sort of metaphorical concept. We're going to build a wall. We're not going to let them through. And then in the beginning, you'll remember, so he said, so they can come over here and do crimes and rape people and do all the rest of it. What's scary is not what Trump is saying, but why Trump is saying it. Because he understands where the American psyche is, and that is scary, don't you think?
Well, yeah, he's feeding off of people's ignorances because, let's face it, it's an overgeneralization to say that all the Mexican people are bad. It's an overgeneralization to say that all Muslims are bad. I mean, for instance, there's over a billion Muslims in the world. If they all took up arms, we'd be in a lot of trouble. It's a very small percentage of those people are radicalized, and people are ignorant, and they don't realize that.
Sean, you've made some very good points. I appreciate your call. Call again, okay?
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. We'll go to line number three, and we'll talk to Mark in Albany. Go ahead, Mark.
Hi, Alan. Thanks for everything, as always. I have 2 points about Bernie. First, I want to address his electability and also the real choice between Bernie and Hillary. On electability, you've raised the concern that the Republicans have already hit Hillary with the kitchen sink, but they haven't started attacking Bernie. But the current situation is that Bernie is the only candidate running with net favorables above 50%, well above 50%. And all the Republicans left in the race are fundamentally unelectable. They're further to the right than Bernie is to the left. If you look at Trump's proto-fascism and Cruz's extreme religious fundamentalism, Trump is already, both of them will lose women overwhelmingly, and especially Trump, and Cruz also, and Trump will lose Hispanics overwhelmingly, more than Romney did.
Let me,
Mark, voters.
Hey, Mark, hold on a second.
Yes, they're going to attack him, but he can fight back and point out their very grave disqualifying deficiencies.
Okay, Mark, stop for a second. Let me ask you a question. My favorite question, as a matter of fact. You're clearly on the left of center side. But if you had the deciding vote and somebody had a gun pointed at your head and said, tell me or I'll shoot, and by the way, pull the trigger is not an option, Trump or Cruz?
I think Trump would be a weaker candidate, but if Cruz is nominated, Trump would walk and split the vote. So either of them would be fine.
You know, that's not an answer because I'll pull the trigger. You have to tell me. You have to tell me which one you're going to vote. You would vote for in that circumstance.
To actually govern.
Well, yeah, you know, for whatever reason. You're at the ballot, your deciding vote is going to count for a great deal. Who are you voting for, Cruz or Trump?
I would like Cruz to be nominated. I would prefer Trump as president.
Right, because you think Cruz is more of an anathema to the middle class, that they won't vote?
Because Trump would walk, and the Republicans could, you know, go down, you know, worse than Goldwater.
Right. You think Trump would do worse than Cruz? I don't.
Trump would. There wouldn't. The Cruz voters would be less likely to walk than the Trump voters.
No, I'll be honest with you. I think the American middle, which is what elects presidents, right, will find Cruz to be a total anathema. He loses big.
Yeah.
Whereas Trump could get dangerous.
They're both dangerous, but I want to get back.
No, I mean in terms, but in terms of electability, that's all I was talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. Bernie versus Hillary. The real choice is between incremental, transactional, and transformational change. I think we have three issues where we really need transformational change. And energy, the fossil fuel industry has something like $20 trillion.
Hey, Mark, you're running out of time here. You're running out of time. There's a lot of people behind you.
Hillary will triangulate. Bernie will go after them frontally. Secondly, economic inequality. Bernie is for real, and it's a real crisis. We need to reverse Reaganomics and not triangulate.
Okay, we'll have to say that's it for now, Mark. Thank you very much for calling.
Thanks, Alan.
Appreciate it. Right. We'll go to Jim in Ballston Spa. That's on line number 4. Okay, Jim, remember that you're on line number 4. Terribly important. What do you want?
Hi. I thought I'd just share a conversation I had with my son, who's a teacher in China. He lives in Guangzhou.
That's great.
And he teaches in an international school, and he's the only American in the school.
Yep.
All the rest are Chinese, other Asians, Australians, Europeans, and English. And they're just shocked about this rise of Trump, because the coverage they see over there, not much Chinese coverage, but they watch, you know, BBC and other sources, is Trump, Trump, Trump. And to them, my son's like, they always consider Americans fairly moderate. No radical,
right.
You know, and to have Trump, and they actually believe that Trump could be the next president of the United States, and they're really concerned.
by the way, for good reason. He could be the next president of the United States.
And so I thought I'd just share that.
Okay,
what's going on with America?
No, I think that your point is right, spot on, that people all over the world are watching this election. And they're watching the same way Americans do. And they always calls us up and says, why are you always talking about Trump? We don't make that decision. That decision is made by the exigencies of the campaign. I can tell you this much. They put Trump on any station, and they get the ratings. These guys aren't stupid. That's why they're doing it. Hey, Jim, thank you very much. Appreciate
You're welcome.
It.
Bye.
Okay. All right. And we will go to line number 5 with Max from Hudson. How are things in one of my favorite cities? Hiya, Max.
How are you? I'm a 23-year-old recent journalism school grad. I can very, very surely say I wouldn't have gone to journalism school if I hadn't grown up listening to you.
Wow.
But I wanted to just call in and respond to your comment to the first Trump supporter who called in. Your comment about, you know, when you do talk to Trump supporters, you often get a similar line of reasoning for why they support him as you get from Bernie supporters. I absolutely think that's true. But part of the reason that those people aren't switching over to Bernie or never would consider Bernie is because the media doesn't often delve beyond the headlines and actually like discuss policy. For example, with the wall and Mexico, right? They could talk about the actual reasons that you have illegal immigration to the United States from Mexico. They could talk about NAFTA. They could, you know, it's a whole host of reasons. It's not any one. And you shouldn't oversimplify it as the media, but you can certainly talk about, you know, if this is something you care about, how do we fix it? Like, I think we should have open borders all over the entire world personally, but how are we going to fix this problem? We fix it by actually treating Mexico fairly as a trading partner, as everything, by not slashing, not forcing them to slash subsidies while we support agricultural subsidies at the same time, you know?
Okay. Hey, Max, of course, you realize that everything I've been reading saying there are more people going the other way than coming this way. I don't think that's something Donald Trump or anybody else is telling us right now.
I don't know how many people are crossing over either way.
Yep.
I personally just see, and I've talked to people that are Trump supporters with a friend of mine, and we've convinced people to vote Bernie instead because
that's interesting.
You know, these are oftentimes, not exclusively, but oftentimes people who don't spend a whole lot of time reading into context and, you know, reading into, you know, the entirety of a problem.
I get what you're saying. And it is interesting that both Bernie and Donald are outsiders to their major constituents. I think what this election is proving is that people hate the insider government establishment types who they think are ripping it off for themselves.
Sorry, what was that last part?
They think that the insiders, the congressmen, the senators, the presidents are basically in it for themselves and not for the people.
Oh, yeah, they absolutely think that.
Yeah.
And the only reason I'm voting for Bernie is I think he happens to be probably the one member of the Senate who's not.
Well,
has a record to show that he's not. A lot of people, I think, just don't understand. You know, he wasn't a household name until very, very recently.
You may be right. You may be right. Hey, listen, Max, you've had your chance. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bye-bye. We'll take a short break. I know it's a little early, but then we'll have a little extra time as we round the corner and finish up. Okay, Zach, take it away.
Support for WAMC comes from Fort Hill Auto Body, Amherst, Massachusetts, locally owned and operated since 1997, providing auto body repair, detailing, painting, and glass replacement. A proud supporter of public radio, FortHillAutoBody.com. The Department of Theater Arts at SUNY New Paltz presenting Parade, a musical exploring the 1913 Atlanta murder trial of Leo Frank, through April 17th, newpaltz.edu/theater. Interactive Media Consulting, Saratoga Springs, New York, providing logo and print design, web development, and digital marketing throughout the Capital Region and beyond. Marketing creative and business ideas since 1996. iMediaConsult.com. Nine Pin Cider Works, serving New York hard ciders made from locally sourced apples. Tasting room open Wednesday through Sunday at 929 Broadway, downtown Albany. Be revolutionary. Consider the apple. NinePinCider.com. And Temple Sinai announcing their annual Community Seder Friday, April 22nd at 6 p.m. 518-584-8730 for reservations.
And we are back. Thank you, Zachary. Appreciate it very, very much. We may be having a little bit of a fouled up thing here. Oh, can't put on holds, came the meeting. Okay, but Jessica is on the scene, and she is going to handle everything. In the meantime, we'll go to Brandon in Craryville. Okay, Brandon, how you doing?
Hi, Alan. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm part of the Bernie or Bust movement because I can't my conscience won't allow me to vote for Hillary Clinton. I cannot get a clear idea of where she stands on anything. It seems like she only evolves when it suits her politically. I also believe that the DNC is corrupt, that they are very biased towards supporting Hillary Clinton. If you look at the voter
there's no question about that. If you look at the
voter suppression in Arizona, 652 surrogate votes allowed in Wyoming.
Brandon, as they say in court, stipulated. Look, these guys, the establishment people, there's no question about it, and it's not a bad thing from my point of view. It's just that the establishment, the congressmen and all the senators and the rest of the people, they're for Hillary. Bernie's the outsider. So I give you that one. What else you got?
Well, I just think that To cast a vote for any Democrat is to sort of reinforce this behavior and allow it to continue.
Okay.
And really, the Democratic Party should be worried about, you know, what the Democrats want.
Should schmutt. But I want to ask you a question. Assuming that you vote for Bernie, but he doesn't win in the convention and Hillary becomes the candidate, are you telling me that you're not going to vote?
Yes, because I think that that's the only way that any—I'm not even saying that I wouldn't vote. I would either—
No, that's the question. Would you vote?
I'm torn now. I had originally said I will write Bernie in no matter what, but in doing some research, I'm finding that write-in ballots not even necessarily counted.
Yeah, right.
And so I think it may be more effective
Brandon, we get it. We get that. Now I'm asking you a question.
Yeah.
Is there a difference between electing Hillary or electing Trump or Cruz?
Well, to me, I don't think there is because I.
Oh, really?
Let's
just see, Brendan, who Trump or Cruz puts on the Supreme Court and who Hillary puts on the Supreme Court. And let me ask. I'm with you. I voted for Bernie. But are you kidding? You're going to walk? If you walk, that is a vote for the other side.
Right. Well, I would even go a step further and say, depending on who the Republican candidate is, I would cast a vote for a Republican before Hillary Clinton.
Why?
Just to send a message to the DNC that the time of crony politics has come to an end. My generation is very politically involved and aware, and we're not going to sit by and take it anymore.
Well, how old are you?
I am 26.
If your generation comes out and turns out, as you say, because they're politically involved, I'm telling you now, Bernie will win New York State.
Exactly.
And Bernie knows it too. But what if they don't? Right. Then are you willing to say, well, we've got a lot of work to do before we get young people out to vote?
I don't know if anything will ever change. I feel like this is the tipping point.
But wait. But why don't young people come out and vote? Is it because they're just not used to it, or because they're lazy?
Well, I'm in New York, and we're talking about a closed primary. So I had to register as a Democrat. I switched from a Green. I had to register as a Democrat sometime in the fall in order to be eligible to vote in the primary.
Yeah. So
which I think, you know, for young people thinking that far ahead, it's not always on our radar. And some people aren't even aware that it's a closed primary system. So I think having an open primary would definitely, you know, help to get the younger people out. But I do see, you know, there was a huge rally in Albany, huge turnout, lots of young people there. I think that I'm hoping that, you know, my people in my generation will turn out and vote in the primary.
Okay.
And that is the way that Bernie will win.
Okay, Brendan, we've had our talk. I appreciate your call. I hope you're right. Goodbye.
All right.
Let's go. Let's go to Luke in Lenox, Massachusetts. Okay, Luke in Lenox, you're on.
Hey, Alan.
Hey.
Thanks for taking my call. Can you hear me okay?
I can.
Great. Alan, I wanted to ask you a more political science question, seeing as you're a doctor of political science. One of the benefits I see to the majoritarian two-party electorate system is that we can sort of elect individuals with a variety of beliefs instead of just holding to a party, such as in parliamentary systems. And though we get limited on the number of different viewpoints, we maybe can arrange them a little bit differently. But what I'm seeing in this election with sort of superdelegates and sort of the mainstream Democrats just sort of hoping to coronate Hillary as the party candidate, and the same thing with on the right with candidates hoping to or not candidates, excuse me, the establishment hoping to sort of shove aside Trump for the party choice.
Okay, but Luke, what exactly do you want us to do? Explain that.
I guess I'm wondering. I've got a question more than what I want us to do. I'm wondering if you think that there really is an advantage, or if maybe some of the idea behind the Constitution that we wouldn't have powerful political parties.
The answer is, hey, Luke, here's the deal. We'll meet at Haven someday and duke this out, talk about
terrific.
It over there. But here's the deal. This is the Constitution. It's not changing. You can make an argument that we should change it. You are making that argument. The fact of the matter is you need an amendment process. It's almost impossible.
Right.
You got to work with what you got right now.
Right. I guess, Alan, I'm not arguing against the two-party system,
yeah.
even though I do think that there are better alternatives.
Sure.
I'm arguing against the development of powerful political parties within the two-party system.
Okay, well, how do you stop it?
Well, maybe you don't need necessarily a constitutional amendment to stop that. There could be rules about the way that parties
play these
roles, but that's very difficult now because these parties dictate a lot of the decisions.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. The whole discussion today has been how the establishment is being challenged from both the left and the right.
Right.
And, you know, Bernie understands what the rules are, and he has come a long way playing by those rules.
Right. And he understands the rules. But at the same time, even though there's been, I think, tremendously more enthusiasm for his campaign, there's, you know, he's an outsider even if he got more votes.
Well, that's true. Hey, Luke, I wish we could spend more time, but we can't. And I thank you for your call.
Give me a call and we can meet at Haven to continue.
One of these days. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Thanks, Alan.
Yeah. Okay. And let's go to Gordon in Pittsfield. All right, Gordon, what do you got? Bring it.
Good morning. Yes. Something everybody, a lot of people say how Hillary is not honest. And, you know, this is part of the rhetoric that's going on. One day, somebody asked her opponent there, Sanders,
yeah.
What he would do to break up the banks. And he didn't have an answer.
Yeah, that was the famous
so
Daily News.
Hillary said that he felt that he was that he was unprepared. And the Washington Post came out and took that statement from Hillary, saying that he was unprepared for president because he was unprepared. And then Bernie came immediately up and said that she was totally unprepared for being president. Now, there is a perfect example of his not doing his homework.
Well, maybe yes, maybe yes.
He's been campaigning on this for 2 years, and yet he didn't know. But
so what are you saying? You're saying Hillary is
on the other hand has programs to get these things done, but they're more gradual, which is a better way to change.
Okay, Gordon, I appreciate your call. We're having troubles with the phones here, and I want to do some experimenting. Okay, thanks, Gordon. Appreciate your call. All right, hang up. All right, now, there are some of these that are sort of on. Now, I'm going to press this button on line number 5, and we're going to see if anybody... No, we're not going to press this button on line number 5. I'm getting all kinds of interesting, head shakings from our crack, the engineering department. Where do I go now? Well, let me summarize what I've been hearing so far. I've been hearing from some people that Bernie is an outsider, that Trump is an outsider, that the establishment has basically taken over the electoral process, that individuals are corrupting the process. Let's go to a letter here. Did any candidate address climate change and energy policy besides Bernie? We're facing frack gas pipeline construction in the Capital District and must try to stop fossil fuel infrastructure and construction and promote renewable green energy. And that's from Barbara. Okay. I think my way, engineering department, is better. I'm going to press one of these, line number 1. Okay. We'll go to line number 1. Line number 1, we have from Hudson. Who's on line number 1? Hello?
I am. It's Hedvig. H-E-D-V-I-G. Is in Victor, I-G.
Gotcha. Go ahead. You're on. What do you got?
Okay. What I've got is in this... Should I speak now?
Yes, you're on.
Okay. Well, in the discussion of... in the discussion of media handling of the campaign, I think we still act as if we have an independent media.
Are you saying I'm not independent?
No, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking
Well, when you start talking about the media, you're talking about the media.
Mainstream media. Okay, I'm
thought you. Who do you mean? The New York Times?
Yes. May I make my point here? It's very succinct. I think that, we act as if the media was what it used to be in the old days, whereas now it really isn't an independent media. I mean, I'm talking about mainstream media these days really represents corporate interest because it's part of it. And those interests don't want a political revolution over the distribution of wealth. They don't want to defund wars for regime change. They don't want to defund private prisons. They don't want tax reform to have, close the loopholes for the rich. They don't want these things, and they're not going to put somebody out there who is promoting them.
Okay, so, whoa. Okay, Hedvig, you had that say. So let me ask you this. Assuming that, let's just say, Bernie wins the nomination.
Uh-huh.
And the opponent is Trump or Cruz. Do you think the New York Times, nothing is more representative of the media and mainstream media than the New York Times? You think the New York Times is going to endorse, and this is a very important answer, so think about it, is going to endorse Bernie or his opponents?
You're talking about once the nomination
has
been secured.
Yes.
I think they will endorse him.
Uh-huh. Well, I agree with you.
Not with a lot of enthusiasm.
Well, but the point really is, because I listened to you very carefully, and I think you make some very good points. But if in fact, Bernie is a threat to the existing system, and I've always believed, by the way, that the New York Times, as you suggest, is moderate and believes, as Franklin Roosevelt did, that if everybody gets a house and everybody's played fairly, that that's what they want. They're not for socialism, that's for sure. So, but I think that, that's who they are, and I think they'll endorse Bernie, and I believe, compared to Cruz, they'll do it with gusto.
Okay, well, we might, I don't know if you would you draw a distinction between, say, New York Times and the public TV, you know, on-air type media?
Well, you know.
Which is more influential to more people.
Oh, no. You mean the New York Times is much more influential. Much okay. more influential than...
More voters?
Oh, my God. Not even close. And nor do okay. I see that the public TV stations are out there guiding opinion one way or the other. I just don't think they do it.
Well, I mean, it's a good point, and it's an interesting point. And I think that if the mainstream media were stuck with Bernie as the candidate, that it would be pretty rough on them.
Well, if the New York Times,
how to deal with it?
If the New York Times or the Washington Post, the New York Times has lots of problems with Hillary too, and you know that they're
yes.
constantly getting on her. I think if the Washington Post, the New York Times, the Boston Globe, you know, the Chicago Post, these places would endorse Bernie. That's my bet, because A, they know that the Democrats going to win this time, and they want to be on the winning side. Always remember that. But mm-hmm, then if he's elected, they'll give him hell.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Hey, Hedvig, thank you for calling. Appreciate it a lot.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we only have a couple more. We've gotten all of our problems solved here, thanks to our wonderful engineering department. Let's go to Jennifer in Cornwall. Jennifer.
Hi. I have sort of a dream team scenario.
Go, but it's got to be fast.
In my mind here, and that would be if Hillary got the nomination or Bernie,
yep.
whichever one gets it, then they make the other one their vice president.
Yeah. Well, don't hold your breath.
And then if that ticket would win, then and they are holding up the Supreme Court nomination in Congress, that they would then appoint Obama to the Supreme Court.
You're not the first to suggest it. He would be a great Supreme Court justice. That ain't going to happen either, but I love your dream.
okay.
Thanks a lot,
well, anyway.
Jennifer.
Bye-bye. All right, thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Okay, and now we go to Suzanne in Dutchess County. All right, Suzanne, you're on.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I think that we're all responsible for this mess. I'm not letting, the politicians off the hook. But I just think that anybody who continuously relies on the media without digging further and trying to get comparison information and trying to look at records of how people voted and what policies they presented and what meetings they went to and whether they were on time, how many miles they traveled for the government. You know, what did they do? You know, and I think Bernie has a good record. I think Hillary has a good record. But I'd like to know why the people don't get more annoyed that these people are not in Congress doing their job.
Suzanne.
You
made your point, Suzanne. Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Does it occur to you that half the people in the United States who could don't vote?
Well, I'm always have a dilemma about that because I believe that it's probably better when more people vote, but I do think it causes more struggles when people vote with very little information.
Well, no, that's right. And that's something we say around here all the time.
Yeah, I have to be on the side of encouraging people to vote.
So let me give you my single word that I think explains it. Lazy. And the rest of it is baloney.
Well, I think people obviously are we're all like sheep to some degree. And, you know, the sheep are encouraged, they're sort of corralled a little bit by thinking that they're supposed to get informed by listening to the media and that they're well-informed if they have two opinions.
Okay.
And I just think that they don't even know, and I half the time don't know, but I think that shows that it's not even available.
No, it's available. It's available.
It's not easily available to compare notes about things when people don't know where to go to get the facts.
Suzanne, and that's why we have this program. That's why you're calling, and that's why we're done. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Okay, we want to apologize to Chris from Lee, Massachusetts, who believes in third party candidates. Robbie from Steventown has pro-Hillary comments, but can't make them because we're out of time. And Charles from Albany has definite feelings about media coverage. We thank you all for calling. We're sorry we didn't get to your calls. And now I have to find that piece of paper, you know, the one that tells me what to say. Okay, we're just about out of time. Thank you all. Support for the Vox Pop comes from the Lathrop Communities, serving older adults in the Quaker tradition for 25 years, independent, living in Northampton and East Hampton, Massachusetts, in the heart of the Pioneer Valley, lathrop.kendall.org. The Department of Theater Arts at SUNY New Paltz is presenting Parade, a musical exploring the 1913 Atlanta murder trial of Leo Frank, through April 17th, newpaltz.edu/theater. Whitney's Farm Market and Country Gardens, Cheshire, Massachusetts, now open for the season with garden supplies, organic fertilizers, mulch, cold hardy annuals and perennials, pansies, flowering trees, shrubs, and more. Whitney'sFarm.com, Albany Realty Group, a local woman-owned real estate company since 2003, educating and counseling sellers and buyers throughout the real estate transaction. AlbanyRealty.com. Thank you, everybody, for calling today. Our calls were answered by Susie Chekai, our producers Jessica Blaustein Marshall, Zach Malloy was at the engineer's desk, and I'm Alan Chartok. Stay tuned now for a news update.